Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me today to get you ready for NFL Week 13 action is Sean Murphy, Covers Experts Professional Handicapper. You can follow him on Twitter at Murphy_sports. Sean, great to have you back on the show.
Hey, Rob. Great to be back on. I think it was. I think the last time we talked here was before week one, so the season has kind of flown by as we go into week 13 here.
Very much so, and it's been a very unique season, and on today's show, we're going to quickly look back at week 12 and then look ahead to week 13. And Sean, one of the narratives that I've seen so far this year is the uncertainty. It seems like just when you think that you've got a team pegged, all of a sudden they're not that team. So teams that stand out to me like this, the Raiders, the Eagles, the Chargers, you're like, the Chargers are the best team. They're going to win the AFC West. And then all of a sudden they're 1-5 ATS, their last six. So I did a little digging in this. There are 17 teams that have an ATS record between 7-5 and 5-7 ATS. And why did I look at that number? Because that's really the ping pong back and forth where you've got to try and predict which version of the Eagles are going to show up. I'm curious your thoughts on this parity nature that we're dealing with this year.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because I was just going to talk about the exact same thing. It's, you know, every NFL season is unpredictable, really, when it comes down to it. But it seems like this year, you know, the typical kind of situations haven't really been coming through, or we've just seen a little more of that unpredictability. You know, the Steelers are a good example. You look at them 2 weeks ago, they're playing the Chargers in the Sunday night game, and they put up, you know, 30-something points, and you think, okay, well, maybe this offense is back. You know, they did it against a fairly solid defense on the road, and then last week go into a road division game against Cincinnati, where a lot of people I know were on the Steelers in that one, plus the points, thinking, you know, competitive game, and they just completely don't show up. And then kind of at the opposite end of the spectrum, you look at a team like the Bucks, who are, you know, Super Bowl contender looking to defend that title. A couple weeks ago, everyone was down on the Bucks after that loss to Washington. And then they came out the next week. They pound the Giants on Monday Night Football. Then we look at last Sunday, they came up with a big win over the Colts. And now they're right back on top and everyone's right back on the bandwagon thinking that they're, right back to being a Super Bowl contender, which they truly are. And there's a lot of teams like that. You mentioned the Raiders, same thing. No one gave them a shot in Dallas last week. What do? They go out and put up 30-something points, take down the Cowboys in that one. And the Eagles, another team, yeah, coming off that loss to the Giants last Sunday. There's been times where they've looked great, but last Sunday they just couldn't do anything offensively against the Giants. And now suddenly the Giants play the Dolphins this week, and that's a game that, you know, both teams are improbably in the playoff picture somehow with this, you know, expanded playoff and with the extra week. It's kind of really changed the whole outlook of the league when you come down to these December games. So yeah, you're bang on. It's really interesting. It's, keeps things interesting every week. It's unpredictable.
And watch out. I think that it might be Mike Glennon's music for the Giants. Woo, be careful with that. But once again, as funny as it may be to say Mike Glennon starting, I would have said the same thing about Colt McCoy starting. And what does he do? I believe Colt McCoy wins 2 of 3. So we've seen this narrative of what I've talked about in previous podcasts, free money, where you see a line swing from like the Dallas-Minnesota game, -2 on Dallas all the way to -4 on Minnesota, where you're sitting there, you're like, boom, I got the best of this number. Cooper Rush is starting. You're like, this is an automatic win. And we've seen time and time again where what we would logically think, and even when you get the better number, you could be sitting there with Minnesota with plus money and it's not working out. And it makes me think about the value of the quarterback one way or another, because as much as we say, look at Colt McCoy, then you look at Tim Boyle for the Lions and you're like, this guy was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of been one of those years where if you turn on the TV on Monday morning and kind of watch the NFL morning shows, you can get a feel for which teams and which players everyone is down on. And the very next week, you can back that team and they seem to be cashing at a pretty solid clip. The Giants would fall into that category after last Monday with, you know, Jason Garrett gets fired. The offense is in shambles. They're hosting an Eagles team that's on a roll. And then what do? They come out and they win the game in a low-scoring game. So So it's one of those situations where you kind of have to stay on your toes in it right now and just be very careful on your plays any given week.
So what is your process looking like for this? Because we oftentimes like to say, all right, a team coming off a big win, we want to fade them the next week. A team coming off a bad loss, we would love to be on them. But it's not always that simple. And I think the Steelers were a great example of that, where you see it. And even this week, they're getting 3.5 points at home. And the zigzag doesn't always work, because look at the Seahawks. And I know that's one of the games that was on your radar, where Seahawks are at home getting 3.5 points taken on the 49ers. 49ers have won and covered 3 in a row and 4 of 5. The Seahawks have lost 3 in a row, and their offense has failed to score 20 points in each of those games with Russell Wilson back. And I'm curious your thought process on all of this, because many of us would just be like, oh, boom, Russell Wilson off a bad loss, they're going to be good. They've continued to not be good.
Yeah, it's tricky with a team like the Seahawks, because Monday night, that was a horrible performance. But there were a couple of signs where you could see that, you know, Russell Wilson was on the same page as Tyler Lockett at the very least. And we saw a couple big plays there, but that had more to do with Washington defensive breakdowns, I think. I think if we're talking about a game like that, though, that is a situation where Tuesday morning, everyone's talking about how Russell Wilson, is he finished? Is Pete Carroll's time up? Which he very well could be. But I think it's important not to just kind of jump the gun and quickly go the other way and lay points with a team like the 49ers on the road here. You've got San Francisco coming off 3 straight games with 30-plus points. Not kind of a common performance for that team. So they're coming into this one. They're without Debo Samuel all of a sudden. I still feel like George Kittle is a little bit is not quite 100% healthy. He just doesn't look quite the same here in the last couple of games. And I think this is a spot where you might want to actually look at the Seahawks grabbing, you know, I think it's up to the north of a field goal now. I think it's +3.5, +4 we're talking about here. So I think this could be a situation where you do see Seattle all of a sudden on the short turnaround go back home, maybe relish the role of spoiler here against a division rival. And you look back to earlier this season, the Seahawks were actually coming off kind of a similar awful stretch of 2 games, back-to-back losses, when they went into San Francisco or Santa Clara, and they pulled out the 28-21 win. So I wouldn't completely write off a team like the Seahawks this week. It is the classic case of a team looking horrible on Monday night, and then everyone has the recency bias, and they end up fading them the next week, and then we see them show up. So that would be kind of my word of warning for that game.
Yeah, I'm not ready to crown the 49ers just yet, because I think I've been skeptical over it. But it is a very interesting line in game, certainly over a field goal at home in a divisional matchup. And speaking of divisional matchups, last week was actually a positive week for us. 4-3 with our picks. The unders in Thanksgiving treated us well as Tony Pollard. The Broncos were good to us, but our 2 losses were actually the Colts and the Texans, and they face each other this week. Colts 8.5-point road favorites. And the buzz on the Colts is at an all-time high. If you didn't know their record, you would think that right now they are the number one seed in the AFC. But here's the thing, the Colts just 2-3 against the spread in their last 5, even though they are 5-2 straight up in the last 7. So everyone's like, boom, Jonathan Taylor, they got past their early season tough schedule. This is the team that we thought they were going to be. And guess what? The Colts destroyed the Texans the last time that they played. But the thing that I've liked about the Texans is when Tyrod Taylor is there. So I was a little bit perplexed to see, even though I didn't watch any of the Jets versus Texans game, because I bet it, but I don't want to watch it. I just didn't understand, because I believe in Tyrod more than I did on the Jets side of things. Guess what? Doesn't always work that way. I'm curious your thoughts on this, because many people would see this number under 10 with a team in the Colts that everyone's loving right now.
Yeah, the thing with the Colts, I'm not high on the Colts in the long-term picture here, but I think this particular week coming off that, you know, close loss to the Bucs, we saw kind of a similar situation earlier in the month, or I guess it was the end of last month, when they lost at home against the Titans in that big division game in overtime. The next Thursday, I think a lot of people were looking to fade them in that spot and go with the Jets, and we know how that game turned out, where they just kind of just ran the ball at will and ended up putting up like 40-something points in that road of the Jets. I do think this could be a similar situation here. You mentioned Tyrod Taylor. I'm with you on the, you know, Tyrod Taylor rather than Davis Mills kind of seems like a much better situation. But when you look at their numbers this season, Tyrod Taylor really hasn't been any better than Davis Mills. And it's had everything to do with just a, you know, an awful supporting cast there in Houston. I think we talked with them way back in week one about how they could be, you know, just a record-settingly bad team this year. But yeah, there's been some spots where you've been able to back them. I'm just not sure this is one of them. There's really no home field advantage here for Houston at all, but we're dealing with a shorter spread than we did earlier this year. You mentioned that 31-3 Colts win over the Texans earlier. I was on the Colts in that one, -11.5. If I'm looking anyway in this game, I'm looking at laying the points with the Colts here. I just think this is a spot once again where Jonathan Taylor can kind of run wild against that that Texans defense, and they can quickly get away from them. Maybe we see Tyrod Taylor come up, you know, kind of out of nowhere with a big performance, but he's just not a quarterback that I fear right now. And I think the Colts in this bounce back spot, they're a well coached team. It's not kind of the typical situation where you're going to see that letdown from them. They need this game. I think the Colts come out and more than likely end up pulling away for a win and cover here.
What does your process look like for these bottom teams? So Texans, Jags, Jets, Lions, these ones that we see these large spreads on where there's so much sharp value on these underdogs. Look how many points we're getting there. Knowing that we're still dealing with this zigzag theory and all of this different stuff, what does your process look like? Because it's not easy, because we saw in the beginning of the year, man, these double-digit favorites are crushing. Then we saw a few weeks back, double-digit spreads losing left and right straight up.
Yeah, typically I'll actually try to avoid some of these teams altogether, whether I'm backing them or fading them. And I'll more than likely look at totals only in those sort of games. I mean, I haven't been involved in a Jaguars game, I don't think, since maybe back in week one or week two. There's just certain teams that it's tough to figure out what's going to happen on any given week with these teams, because maybe they show up, maybe the opponent overlooks them. Last Thursday, I was on the Bears -2.5 against the Lions, and we saw how that went. The Lions didn't play well at all, but somehow they stuck around. The Bears were the Bears, and they came down the wire, ended up kneeling it out, kicking that game-winning field goal, so they got the win but not the cover. That's the kind of situation I would expect to happen with these bad teams. So they're kind of more or less it's situations you want to avoid, unless maybe we're talking about teams like the Seahawks, where they still have they're a bad team, but they still do have some talent. They're capable of rising up and kind of turning in a strong performance here and there down the stretch. Other teams like the Lions, the Jags, I'm not going to touch them. I'm not going to be looking to back them. If anything, I'll look to fade them.
All right. Well, it's interesting because the Lions are taking on the Vikings this week. Vikings 7-point road favorites. And here's the thing. I don't trust Kirk Cousins on the road. And the Lions previously covered their first matchup, which ended up 19-17 score as 10-point underdogs. And the Lions have covered 3 in a row, and they're actually one of the better ATS teams against the spread on the season. I understand everything that you just said, but I am very inclined to bet the Lions, because the Vikings for me are a bet on at home, bet against on the road. And of course, I have no understanding of how in the world the Lions are going to be keeping this tighter. Their defense has been a little bit better, and they are finding a way to cover. For me, this is almost more of a fade on not trusting Minnesota, because I put them in that 7-5, 5-7 ATS bucket where you're like, I just don't know what to expect from them every week.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there on the, I'm not on this game, but I would argue that it is probably a pretty good fade spot with the Vikings coming back from, the trip out west. That was a tough loss there last week. You know, the offense hung in there, but I was on the over in that game. That was kind of just had shootout potential from the start, just the way the Vikings tend to play. But now you see them travel back to Detroit. This is, you know, a clear kind of, you know, they're kind of like the deflated balloon after that loss there last week, which came on the heels of that huge win over the Packers the previous week at home. So this is a spot where you would look to fade the Vikings. Again, I don't really want any part of the Lions here, but I can certainly understand where you would come from, where we could see maybe another ugly, maybe lower scoring game where the Lions kind of hang around. And stay inside that number. I'm not interested in laying points with Kirk Cousins on the road either at this stage of the game.
Well, in the words of Brian Fantana,
60% of the time, it works every time.
And this is 60% of the time. Give me the Detroit Lions getting the touchdown at home. I'll be keeping an eye on the line to see if it moves to 7.5 or if it's ticking down to 6.5 and I need to do it a little bit quicker. Last game that I want to talk to you about, Sean, is the Thursday night. We've got Saints at home getting 4.5, taking on the Cowboys. It might be Taysom Hill at quarterback. And it's interesting because the Cowboys went from cover machines to failing to cover in 3 of the last 4. The Saints have lost 4 in a row, 1-3 ATS in that last 4. And the narrative was always, ooh, Sean Payton, so good off a loss. Ooh, Sean Payton, so good as an underdog. Ooh, Sean Payton, so good at home. But they just got blown out by the Bills, which to me is actually a good thing because the Saints right now are as low as they're going to be. And there's a potential bounce back opportunity. We still don't know what's going on with Alvin Kamara. Dallas, they're sort of deflated right now. They went from, are they the best team in the NFL, to what's going on with Dallas? They've got injuries to CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, it's a situation that, you know, you don't like to, when you have a team coming off a big kind of primetime nationally televised game, home loss, like the Saints last week against the Bills where they were blown out. You know, a lot of bettors will be quick to kind of just go back this week, back, lay the points with the Cowboys, figure it'll work out that way again. I don't have a strong opinion on this side because, you know, there's so much uncertainty with the Saints right now, just at quarterback with, you know, it sounds like Taysom Hill is going to be starting this game, but there's also, you know, talk he's not healthy. He's still battling that foot injury. Mobility is obviously a big part of his game. I'd be looking more in this game actually at the total. I actually think the over maybe worth a look here. Last week we saw all the primetime games go under, low scoring games. Now here this game we see the total dropping. I think it opened kind of north of 50, right around 50. It's dropped down to around 47.5 last I checked. This is obviously a big bounce back spot here for the Cowboys coming off that Thursday, that Thanksgiving Day loss to the Raiders last week. You know, that had a lot to do with the guys that weren't there. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb was out, Amari Cooper's out. Sounds like Amari Cooper's out again this week, but CeeDee Lamb should be back. I'm not sure it really matters. As long as they have Dak under there, I'm confident that they can put some points on the board here in this matchup. And you look at that Saints defense. The last 4 games, they've actually allowed opponents to complete about 72% of their passes. That defense has been asked to do a lot this year just with the way the offense has kind of worked out with Alvin Kamara on and off the field. Defense has had to do all the heavy lifting. So you get to this point of the season where it's a bit of a, you know, bit of a letdown, tired defense kind of coming in here this week facing the Cowboys team that I still have confidence they can score. Obviously, last Thursday against the Raiders, it was kind of a strange game. They put up 30-plus points but maybe didn't look so great in doing it. You look at the other side of it, mentioned Taysom Hill. The Saints just need some sort of spark here on offense right now. Alvin Kamara is going to be back this week. That obviously helps. They may get Ryan Ramczyk back on the offensive line as well. I think that helps as well. I do think that the Saints can maybe kind of put some points on the board in this one, hang around should it turn into more of a shootout. The Cowboys' defense is nothing. It's not really all that intimidating, really. You know, I think you put them indoors here against the Saints. I think New Orleans can put up enough. This total isn't unreasonable sitting at 47.5. I mean, that's basically the same total we saw in the Monday nighter in Washington with Seattle. And we talked about how awful that offense has been. So I think it's a reasonable number. I'd consider playing the over in this one.
How much does the status of Alvin Kamara play for you on a total side of things? Because you said, hey, offense needs a spark. So people saying the reason that I would want to back the Saints, it's not as comfortable without Alvin Kamara. And then certainly on the total side of things, how does that come into your process?
Yeah, it's huge for the Saints. A team like the Saints that are just coming off such a bad performance last week. It's not that they were actually, like Trevor Siemian hasn't been great by any means, but they were putting up 20-plus points every week. I mean, the previous week against the Eagles, we saw a high-scoring game there in Philadelphia. But Alvin Kamara coming back, obviously he's the focal point of the offense. Remains to be seen whether he's 100% healthy or not. But if he can come back and give them anything here, it gives them a bit of a lift. I think it just gives them an emotional lift. You add in the fact they're coming off that embarrassing home loss last week. I just think they know they're going to have to score points to stay competitive in this game with Dallas. They're not going to win a defensive slugfest here. I just think this one can turn into a bit more of a shootout maybe than people are expecting.
Sean, really enjoy jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
Yeah, so you can follow me at, as you mentioned, at Murphy_sports on Twitter. All my plays are available on Covers Experts. I have a couple of free plays up there for Wednesday night. We usually go with one or two free plays daily. If you want to check those out, just follow me on Twitter and head to the link each day. And yeah, that's where to find me.
And I want to hear from you. What is on your NFL Week 13 card? Are you going to be on any of the ugly dogs, or are you going to be on a team like the Colts who are big favorites? You can hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The broken down the devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rope. If you like the way the sound pumps, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.